All right. You know, I love miracles that Jesus performs, especially those when they demonstrate an object lesson to us. And we have one of those object lessons today, not only for us, or not only for the disciples, but for us as well. And I want to read the passage together, and then we're going to kind of plow through. So it was, as the multitude pressed above him to hear the word of God, yeah, this is the Sea of Galilee, okay? I had to get on and have him pronounce it on the web, and now I forgot. It's Gennesaret is what it is, but it really is the Sea of Galilee. I just want you to know that because that's kind of how we know it. And saw two boats standing by the lake. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put him. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, who's Simon? Peter. Yeah, okay. All right, so Jesus gets into Peter's boat to speak to the crowds and tells them to push away. And then he sits down and teaches. Now, why does he do that? Okay. I thought here would be a good illustration. Last year, we were up at Horsetooth Lake, and so there was a few of us that went up there and had boats, and we anchored out in this little cove, and we're jumping off the boats and diving in, and then somebody said to us, well, see that rock up there? It's about 30 feet up off on the cliff. I dare anybody to jump off that thing, so, okay, I'm taking that dare. And a few other people. So we swam across in the cove all the way to the other side, got out of the water. And when we got out of the water, I could hear those guys talking in the boat like they were just right next to me. Have you ever experienced that on the water? When the water's real calm and you get even the lower you get towards the surface of that water, you can talk to people. Like I remember one day when my father and I were out in the ocean or the Puget Sound, and it was foggy, and I rowed out about 300 feet away from him, and we could just talk normal. And so I thought it was really funny. In fact, it was really kind of cute because I could hear what they were talking about, and I could hear him say, well, I doubt Steve can do it, you know, or I doubt Char can do it. And so I thought, I'm doing it, right? Well, you know, the whole point is that we could hear those voices so normal. And so what Jesus did is he had Peter take the boat out and sit down in the boat. Of course, if you stand up, you're a fool, right? But sit down in this boat. And then he began to talk and all the crowd could hear him. But if he was on land, they couldn't hear him, and they were pressing in on him when he was talking. So he just got in the boat, went out there, calm day on the Sea of Galilee, and they could hear. And so he taught. And Jesus, bigger than life, when you stop to think about this, now Jesus gets into Peter's boat, and he hardly knows Peter at this point. He gets into his boat, and he says, well, push away from the shore. And he sat down in the boat when he was teaching us, and I'm sure that Peter thought, hey, this is pretty cool. The big guy's in my boat teaching all those people, and it's my boat, right? And I'm sure he thought it was cool and probably pretty prideful, and too. But what's interesting is if we go just back in the history a little bit, Jesus is in the synagogue, Peter's synagogue, and he has a guy that has several evil spirits, and he commands them to come out. And when they're coming out, they say, we know who you are. You're Jesus the Christ. And he tells them, just be quiet. And casts them out. And then finds out Peter's mom has a fever. So he goes down to Peter's house and touches Peter's mom. And the fever goes away. And it says, and then she served them. So, boy, she got healed pretty strong. And so here's Peter watching all this in the synagogue with him casting out demons. They hadn't ever seen that before. And then he heals his mom. And now he says, well, let me get in your boat and you push off so I can teach the crowd. Now, how would you feel about that? That'd be kind of cool. And like I say, probably a lot of pride in that. And so, but you know, as Jesus is teaching the crowd, he's got a bigger plan than just that crowd. And Peter knows nothing of that. And he just thinks it's awesome that he's teaching. But Peter doesn't know, nor does James or John, what Jesus' plan really is while he's in the boat. So they had been fishing all night, and income was their thing, and fish was their goal. And they had fished all night long, and they got they didn't get one fish, both boats. And so with the people crowding around, and Jesus is more concerned about those three guys than he is the whole crowd. And so let's pick up the story in 4 and then make some application. Then he stopped speaking and said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said, and this is what we'd all say, right? I tried that before and it didn't work. Okay. So Simon answers and says, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And here's discouraged Peter, other than in his boat talking, and the other two will be disciples. They are out all night. They don't catch a thing because their purpose in life was fish, right? Great purpose. And Jesus needed them to see a new purpose. But Peter was willing to trust Jesus because of what he had seen him do and what he was saying. And I think probably if we were Peter, we'd think, well, maybe he knows where there's a school of fish so we can get 5 or 10 of them, right? And so I want to pick up the narrative again in verse 6. And he says, "And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners, James and John, in the other boat to come and help him, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Then Simon Peter saw it, Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" You know, and we think, why did Peter do that? But I think we're kind of the same. Do you feel that at times when good things happen, all of a sudden you realize, why do I deserve this? You know? And I think that's just what Peter was thinking. And why would God do anything for us? We're filthy fishermen. Fishermen was about the lowest level of people. And there were times, there's times in our lives when these good things happen and you want to thank God and you do thank God. But what I've found almost every time is when I feel like God has totally blessed me, I feel a sense of repentance. Do you? There's that element of repentance. It's like, God, how could you do such a good thing when you know I'm such a sinner? And that's just what Peter's feeling. And we look at that and we don't deserve it. Peter doesn't deserve it. And yet we hear that small, still voice like Elijah. And it's saying, every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And it makes me realize we stand before a great and powerful God, and why would he notice little old us? Right? Why would he notice us? And especially when Jesus is sitting in our boat, so to speak, and telling us to cast the nets again. Maybe God sees something big in us as well. In our humbled moment, he encourages us, he restores us, he gives us purpose. And I thought about Peter, how powerless he felt, and at the moment, we feel the same thing. We feel like, wow, how can we do anything for God? I'm just a sinner, Jesus, get away from me. In fact, when I meditated on this passage, I thought realistically how unworthy I am. How unworthy I am. And I thought about how unworthy you were too. Why would God use us? Even to be a servant for him. And I thought about the powerlessness of Peter sitting in the boat, watching Jesus fill his nets, and something a moment earlier he could only dreamed of. He thought if he cast down his net, he'd have 10, 15 fish, and that'd be enough to at least eat for the day, and they'd have to go out next week. So many fish, they don't know what to do. In fact, I'm even wondering if Peter looked at that fish in those boats and thought, I didn't know the Sea of Galilee could carry so many fish. Yeah. And it scared Peter. And it would scare us because we're unworthy. Left to ourselves. That's the truth, isn't it? And yet, God doesn't think you're unworthy. He doesn't think I'm unworthy. He calls us the sons of God, for heaven's sakes, the children of God. He made us family members, and because the man standing next to Peter in the boat made us worthy. It's because of him, not because of us. And so Peter responds to Jesus, and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord," not knowing who he would become. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." An interesting response from Peter. And like I say, they might have thought, you know, wait a minute, this is all too much for our head, Jesus. And the power of the miracle scared the bejiggers out of them. You know, fear is, a lot of times in those cases, a loss of control, right? And they all of a sudden realize, whoa, get away from me. There's no control here. You take all the fish in the lake and put it in our nets. And they knew that because they weren't perfect. But he was. And how can Jesus say, "Don't be afraid," when they're scared to death? Listen to what he says. That Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Man, I love that phrase. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, I want you to understand this for a second. They bring two boats in. They barely got them to the shore because they were sinking. With all these fish in them, they got them to shore. Just, "We're following you, Jesus. Forget the fish." And you know, I want to say this. God has a plan for your life. You know, a lot of times I get irritated with that because we're hunting around trying to figure what that plan is all our life. But here's God's plan for life. He wants to make us catchers of men. That's his goal. And he's given each one of us different gifts, different talents. He wants us to participate together as a group to fish for men. And the Bible says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You know, it just answers that question of worth, doesn't it? I contribute my part, you contribute your part, the other person contributes their part, and it makes the whole. And when we have some people that don't want to contribute, we have a hole in the body of Christ that isn't filled. Right? Because if there's 5 billion of us, there's 5 billion different spiritual gifts and talents. And the thing is we aren't Peter. But together, serving together, we're much more than Peter, huh? Much more than Peter. And Paul says, we all contribute and add to the church, and it causes growth. But this doesn't happen alone. It happens together. Every one of you sitting in the chair today are part of the body of Christ. And God's asking you. He's asking you, cast your net. Use your gifts. Because his ministry is about love, right? His ministry is about hugging people and loving people and helping them out of the places they are. And I look at that and I think, man, I can't imagine when Jesus said, do not be afraid. For now, you'll be catchers of men. And he raised the bar from fish to people. And what a fear level we saw in Peter, didn't we? All the way through the Gospels. And then the Holy Spirit comes and Peter becomes great. And James and John become great. Peter, James, and John are fishermen in Galilee, which was the poorest area in all of Israel. Not preachers at all. They became preachers. You know, ministry is something that we contemplate on at a point, and we think that ministry is too hard and too huge, but ministry simply means we love and serve people because we love and serve God. And that's the motive. And we serve God because it has eternal purpose. This week I was talking to some people that are not Christian. They don't know a lot about it. And they were talking about how they're going to make all this money and do all this thing. And I sat back and I thought, oh my gosh, you have no purpose whatsoever, but you don't know it. Right? What's the purpose of fish? Well, eat. Cool. What's the purpose of fishing men? More come into the kingdom. More are loved. We grow. And so Peter, James, and John immediately got up and were ready to follow Jesus no matter where he went, no matter what the cost was, no matter what he asked, they were going to be committed to Jesus from that point on. The question is, where's your commitment at today? And we look at the results of their commitment, and what happened? They changed the world. They changed the world that we know. You know, I was thinking about the memorial service here at 3 o'clock for my father-in-law, Bob Hill. I say senior, he's actually the first, and Bobby's the second, okay? But for all practical purposes, Bob Hill Sr. And, you know, I remember he had been out of it for 10 years. And he actually 12 or 13 with Alzheimer's. And, you know, a lot of times when you've been out that long, nobody even remembers you anymore. This, the reason we have so many chairs, this place is going to be full. And you think, well, why? Because he was a teacher and he taught. You know, he, just like all of us, he didn't have a lot of other gifts. But the sucker could teach. And I mean that in a positive way. That guy could teach and he taught and he was a catcher of men, right? I can't think of anybody else that was a bigger catcher of men. And he taught and he taught and he taught. In fact, one time I walked into Sunday school a hair late and I'm the only one in there and I walk into the room. He's teaching. Nobody's in there and he's teaching. And I said, well, Bob, can you back up? And he said, no, you got to be on time. Yeah, I was never late again. I watched a video of his 20th year celebration being a pastor. And you know what? He was remorseful. He was like, no, I'm a sinner. Get away from me. It was that same speech that Peter had. Because that's the way we feel because we're not perfect. And so it's very easy to say, you know what? I'm not perfect, so I'm not going to do any kind of ministry. I'm just going to let the other guys that stand up front do that. Well, I'm sorry. You're absolutely 180 degrees off of the truth, which is we all serve, don't we? Amen. Do I hear a big amen? Okay, all right. And we do it in spite of ourselves. You know, in fact, it wasn't all that long ago, I picked up a cassette of the first sermon that I preached, okay? It was so bad. I'm telling you, it was so bad. Within 30 seconds, sweat started coming out on my head, and I could feel my armpits starting to sweat. And finally, I said, Debbie, turn that off. I never imagined myself in a lot of ways standing up here because I was a horrible speaker. And I look at it and I think, how do we do this? You know, Bob was saying, almost depart from me, I'm a sinful man. And we all feel that way, but in spite of ourselves, and God say, no, 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 no. You have big things to give to every one of us. You have big things to give. And you can teach Sunday school, or you can lead a small group, or you could be a leader of a church, or you could become a pastor, pastor's wife, or women's ministry leader, or work in the kitchen, or move chairs, or whatever it may be. But you're the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Quit ignoring it. Quit ignoring it. You're the body of Christ. And I'm here because of Bob's influence. I'm here because I met Debbie at Grace Bible College, and we talked, and she said, well, and I said, man, I have so many questions. I'm a Christian now, but I have so many questions, and nobody can answer them. I went to all the profs. They couldn't answer it. And she said, well, my dad can answer it. And I said, yeah, sure. Right? So the way she described him, it sounded like he was about 240 and 6'8". Okay? He wasn't. He was a sawed-off Zacchaeus with bald head. Right? And he comes into my room at the time, and he opens up his Greek text and says, okay, what's your first question? And I knew I was in trouble. Right? Answered my questions, and I thought, I gotta come to Colorado. I gotta study under the guy. Now, did he do everything right? No. No, he didn't. Do I do everything right? No, I don't. Do you do everything right? Yeah. No, I do. You know, and I looked at that, and I think, here's Bob, a youth leader in California, and somebody tells him about a church. A church that's struggling, it's small, and it's divided, and it has headstrong people in it. And a pastor went to Bob and said, I think you're the only person in America that could straighten that church out. And he did. He did. He was very unemotional. He just sit there with a straight lip face, and no matter what anybody said, he just sit there. He never got angry and just pushed his way through until he got that church going. And I looked at that and I thought, he's influenced hundreds and hundreds of people. We got 413 chairs, and I guarantee even with the snow, they'll all be full, and people, it'll be overflowing. Because he touched people. And did he touch people because he did it well in every area? No, he touched it because he just followed his gift. And my friend, I'm begging you, on behalf of Christ, to follow your gift. You've been called, and I've been called to love and to serve and to influence and to train and to move people one step closer to Christ. And the question would be, are we going to stand up and do that? I want to close with this verse from Galatians. And he says, for you, brethren, have been called to freedom. Only do not use freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And make no mistake about it. He has called you and I into the men catching business. So the question is, are we going to stand up and do it? Will you answer the call? Father, we come this morning. I thank you for your love. Really thank you for your mercy. Lord, because when we look at Bob's life and what he did, and we see his weaknesses and his strength, and we see that in everybody we know. He did what you asked him to do. And Lord, we're asking today that your Holy Spirit will work in our heart to do what you called us to do. And Lord, for most of us starting out in our Christian life, we had no idea what that would be. But I remember as I read my Bible and I began to see more and more who you had created me to be. And I think that's true for everybody in here. So Lord, help us to answer that call. While your heads are bowed, maybe you came this morning, you don't have that relationship with God, or maybe you haven't even committed yourself to him. You like him and you like the kind of what it's all about, but you really have not committed your life to him. You haven't dropped your nets and followed him. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the standards, and the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, this morning, if you haven't had that, I want to pray a little prayer for you. And then, Lord, I really feel deeply that we need to ask for commitment from us who do know you. Or have we dropped our nets and followed Jesus? So for you who haven't made that commitment, I'm going to pray this prayer and you pray along with me. And it goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord, the boss of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said. And because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. It's about if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, will you raise your hand up? We want to start praying for you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? And we'd love to talk to you after the service is over. Anybody else this morning? And then for you, they're in your chair and you know Christ, you've accepted Christ. Have you really dropped your nets and followed Christ? And I'd love for you right now to make that commitment in your own heart. Lord, I drop my nets and follow you. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to follow you for the remainder, and I'm going to end well, just like Bob ended well. Oh, Lord, help me to do that. Thank you, Lord, for this few minutes of looking into your word, and I just pray that you will help us change our life and make it not about us, but about you. We want to give you the glory this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.